Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for the word that you speak to our hearts, and ask that you would, by your Spirit, call us, Lord, to a deeper place in you this night. We praise your name. So have you ever felt a bit like that author of Ecclesiastes there? Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. You ever felt this futility of life? Sometimes we feel it's just all drudgery. We're going, just putting one foot after another. Laboring, as he says there. Long hours, seemingly for nothing. Sleepless nights, worrying about things. The demands of office that seem to weigh upon us. This toil that we undergo in our weak humanity can seem all too much, in a sense, or it can seem futile. Unless, of course, we are living for God. Unless we find the deeper purpose of our existence. And then we know everything that we do and everything we're engaged in is within that purpose, that my life is to give glory to God. That's why I'm here. And when I know that my end, the reason why I'm living here, is to be certainly giving glory to God here on earth, but then to be with him forever in heaven, then I have a purpose. It's not futile. Not worthless. I'm not going to fall into a heap in the sense of meaninglessness of my existence. I've got a reason for being in God. This would seem to be very important for us in these days, because boredom afflicts the human heart these days, and we look for many things to fill up that hole that boredom has within us, because we don't know why we're here. And the Lord, through today's gospel and through the readings before it, will convince us more deeply, maybe, of why we are here. And, of course, how transitory is that time that we have here. It's over like a flash. The psalmist prays, Lord, give me to know the shortness of my life, that I may have wisdom of heart. That all doesn't end here, but the decisions I make here have eternal repercussions. So I need to live with that perspective of eternity and have that etched within my soul. You know, all flesh is like grass, and the glory of the flesh is like the flower, the wild flower. You know, the grass withers and the flower fades. Life's like that. You know, we come to the fullness of our strength and our beauty and our bodily appearance, and then all of a sudden it starts to go crinkly. And it seems to crumble into sort of disarray. And nothing functions as it should function. And we get in touch with our mortality. We get in touch with how short life really is. And you can have that moment when you get a heart flutter or you race to the hospital and, my goodness, you realize it could all be over very quickly. And the scriptures today want us to be in touch with this contingency of our existence, that we are here for and have a very short and brief and fragile hold upon life. But we have a purpose beyond here. Our purpose is for eternity. Our purpose is to be with God forever. And that gives us direction. That gives us a reason deep within ourselves, beyond the drudgery that come upon us in our life, to know that we will be with God forever. Paul in the second reading says, set your hearts on things of heaven. Let your thoughts be on heavenly things, not on things of the earth. Don't allow yourself to be so consumed by earthly desire that you don't get in touch with the deeper desire that's built into you, which is the desire for God. But even now, we must know this within ourselves and live out of that deep, consuming desire for God, rather than just be governed by our disordered passions and try to fall upon the things of this world as if that's going to provide me the ultimate satisfaction. Whereas my ultimate satisfaction will be found in God. And now I experience that, but I'll experience it even more so when I come into that final moment, when I come to God forever and to be with him in heaven. We need to have this eternal perspective that's very difficult for our contemporaries to have these days. But God will convince us in our spirit of this. And when we become convinced of it, it really changes our way of thinking, changes our whole perspective on things. Now, today is the celebration of the Curé of Ars, John Vianney. It sort of got knocked off the calendar because it's Sunday. But the 4th of August is always John Vianney's feast day. And he's now, after Pope Benedict, he's now the patron saint of all priests. So I like to sort of look to John Vianney a bit. And there's a story about how he was first made a priest after a big struggle in the seminary and everything. And he's walking towards his first parish, which was given to him. Ars was the name of the town. And it was like a backwater sort of place, and nobody expected anything to happen in Ars. But anyway, as he's walking there, he meets a young man. He got a bit lost, and he says to this young man, you show me the way to Ars, and I'll show you the way to heaven. You see, that's what the saints had. They had a purity of understanding of why we're here. I'll show you the way to heaven. That's what he knew what he was about. He himself was seeking the way to heaven, and he was going to bring as many other people with him to heaven. You see, that's purity of heart, we call it. It's single-mindedness. Blessed are the pure of heart, they shall see God. They'll be granted the vision of God. Because they're single-minded in their purpose. They're not divided within themselves with a whole lot of screeching voices within them sort of saying, go this way, go that way, take this, have that pleasure, go after that relationship, all that sort of thing. But within the self, there's a clear perspective that, as Paul says at the end of that reading in Colossians, that Christ is everything, that Christ is in everything. And we who have a new life in Christ through baptism, we're meant to be able to experience that and know it. That he's the center of my life. And he's what galvanizes me in every facet of my life. I'm not a part-time Christian that Pope Francis has been hammering away against, you know. The Sunday Catholic, but the part-time Catholic too. Now, where I sort of come to Mass and do my charismatic thing, then I walk out of here and I allow myself to get caught up in the other passions. I go and watch a blue movie, for example, you know, and think, oh, that's okay, you know, it's like that today. Or I come to do my religious thing and then I go out and I talk about other people and gossip about them and scandal and talk scandalously thing and all that sort of thing. Like, what? We can easily fall into that, where we've got a sort of a divided heart. We haven't been yet consumed by the love of God, so he's all in our lives, and everything that we do is really to the glory of God. So I never let my eyes look upon something that doesn't give God glory. I never let myself say anything that does not give God glory. I never let myself think about anything that does not give God glory. I don't do anything that doesn't give God's glory. Everything is for God. And everything then fits the purpose for which I have been built, for which I have been created. And so it's the grace of God upon us to be able to do this. You know, when I was with Brother Paul one time, I think I told this at the funeral, but he was dying of cancer, which was strangling him, and it got into his lungs, and he was suffering greatly. But it was at that point where the medicos were all around his bed, and I was present there, and they were trying to work out whether he should go to the hospice or not, because it was at that time, you see, when he meant to go to the hospice. And one of the very sensitive young medicos there sort of said to him, Paul, we're really wanting to just know what you want and to meet your deepest need and what you would like at this time in your journey. And so he got out his writing pad because, you know, he couldn't talk. Very quickly, he just simply wrote, all I want is to prepare well to go to God and to be with him in heaven, which was not exactly the answer they were expecting. But I was so delighted at that. It brought tears to my eyes because, you see, that's the focus, isn't it? You know, a friend of my mother, some years ago, I went to her because she was dying of cancer in the hospital, and I just went to be with her. She took hold of my hand. And I knew the story. You see, they'd got a package early, like people do in public service, huh? And then they went up the coast and they built their dream home. It was like a mansion, really. They sort of put everything into it. They had various layers and they had all the sort of whole thing landscaped beautifully, and there were little fountains here and there, and you know, all the beautiful mod cons and everything. And I knew that had happened, but then they just got it finished and she contracted cancer. And now she's dying in the hospital. And she grabbed hold of my hand and she said, Ken, she said, you know, we spend our whole life on things that are worth nothing. There's only one that's really important, isn't it? And I thank God that at that point in her journey, that she'd come to realize the truth that Christ is everything and he's in everything. That ultimately what matters is not that we gain the satisfaction of a beautiful mansion, which is going to be taken away anyway, but that we find God and that we live for him and find our joy and our peace in him. Now, it's a beautiful phrase there in the responsorial psalm where it says, in every age, O Lord, you are my refuge. In every age, O Lord, you are my refuge. And in the second reading, it sort of says, we are, because we're being baptized, we are to be hid with Christ in God. And then one of the psalms says, Lord, you are my hiding place. I love that. You are my hiding place, O God. You are my refuge. I'm hid with Christ in God. God is my all. And ultimately, when we're brought to that point of extremity, we know this truth. You can't take anything with you. Now, in the gospel, Jesus expresses it so strongly, doesn't he? Now, they're having an inheritance battle. And you know how inheritance can actually bring out a lot of greed in people's hearts? And they fight over things? Well, this is what was happening. And Jesus said, beware of avarice of every kind. Because greed, it says in the previous reading, greed is like worshipping an idol. And it can grip the human heart. And this is what was happening. And Jesus says, a man's life not made secure by what he has, what he owns. Even if he has lots and lots, more than he needs, that's not going to make his life secure. No, we don't have a gilt-edged security, really, except in the Lord. And that's, Jesus goes on to explain through the parable. He says, there was a man who had a lot of wealth, And his crops were doing well, so he built this big barn. And then that wasn't big enough for what his produce was getting, so he built a bigger barn. And he had lots of, obviously, capital. Huh? And people do that, don't they? Try to get more and more and more. It's the capitalist society, isn't it? And then he says to himself, well, you can be secure now. Rest and have a good time. Eat, drink, and have a good time. You've got plenty stored up for you now. And God says, fool. Fool. This very night, your soul will be demanded of you. And what will all this hoard be? Whose will it be then? You certainly can't take it with you. So that reminder that we must always keep the eternal perspective and keep the Lord at the center of it all. Now, there's a time out at Red Hill when we were living up there, and there's an old tree there. I think they've cut it down a bit now, but it used to sort of be a place where all the white cockatoos used to come in and start to sort of sit on this tree, and they'd be screeching away, ark, 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 like that, you know. And we'd be in the chapel trying to pray. It was almost impossible. You know, there's noise going on. And then one of the brothers would get sick of this, and he'd run outside, and he'd let out a mighty yelp and shout and scream and make a noise, and they'd all go off, ark, 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 off they'd go, see. Well, it's a bit like that in the human heart, right? That you've got these white cockatoos screeching around inside, right? Do this, do this. This will make you happy. This will fix your life. Da, 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 da. All within yourself, you see. You've got these screeching voices within. And then somewhere deep within, you've got to come to that point, by the grace of God, where from deep within you, you have this one consuming desire that cries out, I want God! I want Christ. And when that shout is made from deep within in a genuine way, all the cockatoos go off. They're gone. And peace descends to the soul because there's been a deep surrender of heart. Your life's focused again, you see, because we get terribly unfocused and caught up in many things. As Jesus says at the end of that parable, you know, he says, don't be foolish and store up treasure here on earth, but rather be rich in the sight of God. May we be rich in the sight of God. You know, some of the most beautiful people I have met are people who have practically nothing. Very poor people, not necessarily in this country, but they have such a deep, sweet spirit because there's a sweet spirit of surrender to God and a deep faith. They know their destiny. They know where they're going. They know the meaning and purpose of their life. And their life is lived to the glory of God. Now, I'm not saying that, of course, to glamorize material poverty, but simply to say that the truth is that whatever we have, whatever we possess, that of itself is not going to give us security. The security will come when you're hid with Christ and God, when you find the Lord as your refuge. You know, our rest will be found in God, St. Augustine says, doesn't he? Our hearts are restless until they rest in Him. And we'll find our strength and our comfort and our security in Him. The deepest security that we need will not be gained from what material possessions you own, or what you can sort of say about your reputation or your achievements or your ambition, or all that sort of thing. No, it'll be your security will be established in the love of God when you know Him as your first and your last. You know Him as the love of your life, and you're willing to put your life on the line for Him. That's when we're most secure, when we're most at peace, and we're preparing, like Brother Paul, we're preparing to be with God forever in heaven, and bless His name.